I'm not going to ask her to stand up this morning. But, and I mentioned in that, it's the Holy Spirit who is a superintendent of that construction. You know, when we're born again, we're saved in an instant. But it takes the Holy Spirit then to begin working in us. Takes months, sometimes years, to transform us. And the model of this transformation is Jesus himself. We're to be made in his image. How we can love God then with all of our heart, and then to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so that transformation sometimes is slow going in some of us, and he's able to work a little quicker in others. And I just need to mention, at first I had a sermon talk that the Holy Spirit is not a ghost. He's a person. And I changed the title really to fit the message today. But it's just good to remind ourselves the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Eternal, co-equal with the Father and the Son, and eternal. And he's that superintendent that comes to live inside of us and help us in this process. It was Jesus himself who said in John, recorded in John, if you love me, as Ken opened today, keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and help you, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him. Now look at these pronouns, him. Can't see him, that know him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. Wow. So that helps us to realize that this person now is with us. Other designations and other scriptures for that Greek word, paraclete, helper, comforter, convictor. Some translations use exhorter, reprover, even pictured as a dove, fire, water, wind. So there are a lot of pictures of the Holy Spirit, but for me, and I hope for you, just to keep him in mind as a person. Paul kind of summarized it by saying those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And again he wrote, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So that inner witness is what confirms our salvation and reminds us that God really does love us, and he's at work in us, transforming us. I was telling somebody earlier today, sometimes when you're preaching, the Lord just wants you to expose yourself a little bit more. And I don't always like to do it, because I've stepped in it probably more than most of you have over the years. But I do want to focus on some of the ways the Holy Spirit works that transformation in our lives. And then I want to share one or two experiences in my own personal life. First of all, the Spirit works with a gentle pressure of peace in our hearts. It's kind of like, you know, when our children are little and we're walking with them somewhere, we can kind of put our hands on the shoulder and kind of direct them, you know, which, you know, we want you over that way or come this way. It's just gentle. We don't have to get them in a headlock and swing them over here. We just kind of, you know, we ease them on. Well, maybe because I could do it being so tall. Maybe you couldn't have done it. Maybe you had to look up to your children. I don't know. That's kind of the way the Holy Spirit does. Proverbs 16:9 said, a man's heart devises his way, but God directs his steps. I mean, we can do our planning, but he's going to ease us kind of in the direction he wants us to go. And the purpose is to keep us moving in that right direction. We're saved instantly, but the transformation is a process. We're Christians under construction, someone, you know, said. This happened to me right here in this pulpit when that peace was lost. I had spoke of a friend's stature, and no sooner than I got in the car out there, the Spirit seemed to say to me, Jim, you didn't need to say that. So I had to apologize to my friend. Now, don't be looking around me to see who that friend is. But that's kind of an illustration of how the Spirit can quickly just, you know, not hammer something in, but just say, hey, now, you know, you didn't need to do that. It wasn't necessary. Sometimes when Kay and I shopping together in the grocery store, she'll be driving the buggy and I'll get up front, you know. I kind of just ease it over this way. And when she finally notices, she said, why are you pushing me in that direction? I mean, she senses that. Now, other things can rob us of our peace. Physical demands, business expressions, broken relationships. But on the other hand, successes and victories. You know, we start taking those selfies that I talked about. Then we've gotten our eyes off Jesus. And the Spirit, man, has to start to get us back in that direction that we need to move. And he can get our attention. It might be just an apology. But, it may be we need to repent over something, or maybe a restitution if we've done something that's really affected somebody. Maybe, you know, a financial gift or some way to make the Spirit will direct our action. We don't have to wonder about it. He'll put it, you know, in our heart as what we are to do. And when we obey Him, that sweet Spirit comes back immediately. The peace of God just kind of flows over us. I like this quote from Oswald Chambers. He said, why shouldn't we go through heartbreaks if through a broken heart God can bring His purposes to pass in the world? Then we ought to thank Him for breaking our hearts. See, because that means He's moving us in the right direction. We're still sensitive. If we don't feel that Spirit, then you see, He may have to get us in the headlock to get our attention. Now, second way the Spirit guides us, I've found, is certainly through the Scriptures. It says God's Word to us, the Father's. It's authoritative. It's clear. Everything we know to want to know how to live is right there. It's not fuzzy. It's clear what we ought to be doing. But sometimes He has to highlight a verse or a passage. And then, kind of like that old GPS, it'll say, recalculating. I was serving church early on, and there was a passage in James I was struggling with. And really, it had to do with divine healing. And, I wasn't quite in that camp yet. And the Spirit kept prodding me. And finally, I had this feeling. He said, are you just going to tear that out? Or are you going to start believing it? I mean, that was a mental insight that I had about that particular scripture. And so sometimes when you're reading, you'll get maybe a verse will be kind of outlined, or even a paragraph. And that's when you need to underline it, maybe notate it. What the Spirit said to you right then about that particular passage, because all of it is helping us learn how to love God better and to love our neighbors, you know, as God wants us to. Last weekend at Charge Conference up in Baymanette, I shared an experience about one of our grandsons when he was in high school. He played on the tennis team and had good eye-hand coordination. I mean, he could just see a fast tennis ball and connect. So I said to him on several occasions, Rich, you ought to take up golf. Wasn't interested in it. Got off to Auburn, and over these years, played with some fellows up there, and now he's just eat up with it. I mean, so last year, I gave him a little red book. It was Pickett's Little Golf Tips. He was a golf teacher in Texas. Just a little tiny book, about like, you know, about 4 inches by 3 inches. Not hard reading. Each one little page was one of the tips on how to improve your golf. But in the back, I slipped a $20 bill, folded it, and put it on back there. So months went by, didn't hear from Reese. Summer got there. I said, Reese, how you coming on that book? He said, oh, Granddaddy, I got it on my desk. Finally, at Christmas, he was home, and I asked him again how he was doing. And he hadn't read it, and so finally his grandmother said to him, well, Reese, when you get back, you ought to shake it. Well, you know what happened, of course. When he shook it, that $20 bill fell out. And then he called me to let me know about the book. I don't know if he read it. He may just have shook it. So I shared that experience in Baymanette last Sunday. And I'm sorry some of our officers have to hear it again, but they had a refreshment time for those attendees, and as I was walking back there, a lady caught me by the arm and said, Brother Jim, I got a story too. Our daughter went to Auburn, and she said, I gave her a new Bible, and about every, you know, a few pages, I slipped a $10 bill in there. And so I said, really? I said, I only put a 120. And so anyhow, then she went on with the story. She said about 3 months into the year, her daughter called her and said, Mother, I really need about $100. And so her mother said, have you been reading your Bible? She said, every day. Every day. Don't you love it? You know, God will help you see things that maybe you wouldn't see otherwise. In John 14, Jesus said, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. All truth. I mean, maybe financial or real estate, whatever. He'll guide you into all truth. And he won't speak of his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he'll speak. Just as Jesus said, I don't do anything but what the Father tells me to do. And here the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, he'll not disclose to you anything but what he hears and what's to come. He'll glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he'll take of mine and disclose it to you. And now, see, that is wonderful. I mean, think of it. The mind of Christ is to be in us. And it's the Holy Spirit that will remind us of those things. So it's no matter what you're going through, whatever kind of pressures, circumstances, the Holy Spirit will give you insight, nurturing you and probably maturing you as you go through these experiences. And it may not be a comfortable thing, but he knows what we need. It might be a word of hope or maybe an insight into something. We can't see the end of the tunnel, but God knows what's out there, and he knows where the Spirit needs to direct us during this time. Since we're under construction and we don't know what we always should be, but the Spirit does, and he remembers that we're to be made like Jesus. He's the pattern. Not supposed to be like your Uncle Joe or Tom or Bill or Jim. You're supposed to be like Jesus. Wow. That does, you know, put a little pressure on her. So that nothing that happens in our lives is accidental. God's providences are in all of our lives, steering us gently, maybe a headlock, you know, maybe a scripture that stood out, but all of it is not to hurt us, but to make us the best we can be, and that's to be like Jesus himself. His providences, that's what he works in our lives. He knows the direction. Ethel Waters, long time ago, used to sing, you know, his eyes on the sparrow. What's that next part? You know, bunch of old folks here, you know that? She's been going to glory, but that, think about that. She knew that. You know, he watches the sparrow. The scripture says not even a sparrow falls to the ground, but that the Father knows it. A hair is numbered. And he watches me, she's saying. Though we're born in the family, this transformation is slow going sometimes. Years ago, First Methodist Church in Bonifay, the Monday after Easter, you know, build up to Easter, Lent, and all that. And it's just a very demanding time a lot of times. And so the church there decided, there's a golf course right there in Bonifay. So the men's club would sponsor a clergy golf tournament the Monday after Easter, and the wives would come and service lunch. It was just a great gift from that church. Well, one year, believe it or not, I won second place. Got me a nice trophy about that big. Came from Hobby Lobby, I'm sure, you know. By the way, when I was having my hip surgery, I asked the surgeon, would it help my golf? He said, Jim, how do you hit them? I said, well, some go that way and some go that way. If it ain't gonna help your golf. But anyway, I got home with that trophy, and I was really proud of it, because it was about 50, maybe 60 of my fellow golfer clergy there, and I just kind of enjoyed coming in second place. So I said, where am I going to put this now? The children won't knock it off and break it. Well, I ain't going to make you guess where I put it, but I put it up on the refrigerator because I was the only one that could reach it, you know. I said, it's safe up there. First time that door got shut. Just cracked and broke all to pieces. You know what God was trying? That was a selfie. I wanted to take it with my trophy. God had a way of taking care of that right quick. Now take the Apostle Peter. Now, here's a good example of a work in process. How God had to change not only his thinking, but even his theology. And he might have to do that with some of us as we are maturing in our faith. You know, God had been using him at Pentecost. You know, he was 3,000 added to the church because Peter was a spokesman. Acts 10 is a wonderful chapter. He's in a town, there's a lady dies named Tabitha, Dorcas in the Greek. And God used Peter to raise Tabitha back to life. Gosh, man, what a ministry that he had. And then later in that chapter, he's sleeping, has a vision. Sheet is let down from heaven. All these unclean animals are in it. God says, rise and eat. And you know what old pompous, pious Jew Peter was? I've never eaten anything unclean, unkoshered. Second time, rise and eat. Third time, it's a headlock now. Arise and eat. About that time, there was a door knock on the door. Peter, you've got to go to see Cornelius, another town, a Gentile. He goes, and what he discovers from that sheet wasn't dietary. God was showing him that he was, you know, no partiality. There was no difference between the Jew and the Greek and the Gentile. Wow. But it took three times. Peter, arise and eat. Gosh. See, he not only had to change his thinking, but for a Jew to finally welcome Gentiles, that was huge. That was a seismic shift in his theology. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Now think about Advent, as Bill mentioned that last Sunday, and our choir is already working on the cantata. But think of how God got the message out. Now Mary, an angel came to her. Now Joseph, it was a dream. Take Mary to be your wife. That in her is holy, the Son of God. Wow. How about the shepherds? An angel. And then a heavenly choir. Glory to God. I wish Bill was here and sing that for us. Somebody asked him, are you going to sing today at the end of the service? I said, you have to wait and see. You know, how about the Magi? Following the star. Now, they were riding probably on camels or mules. And it wasn't like going down Interstate 10. You know, they had to watch that thing. I don't know how long they traveled. But they could see it. I don't know anybody else has gotten the sign of a star. Even old Herod got it. Got it through his own religious scribes. Think of the different ways the Holy Spirit worked. Got the message across. It was clear. Now, he may use for you something spectacular. If it's a difficult or important case, something maybe like re-educating Peter. But we shouldn't just seek signs and seek something, because he's already gently leading us and the word is clear. But we may feel like at times we just can't get any direction. I want to share an experience that I had, that I experienced about this very thing. Kay and I were serving in Geneva at the time, and one afternoon I was in the study. Now, Ben, I wasn't sleeping. I was working on a sermon. And this thought just dropped in my mind. Call Jim Hosey. I mean, I'm trying to get a sermon. We got about 450 preachers in the conference, and I knew probably 200 of them. I beat 60 of them in golf. But I'm not going to tell you about that. And so I kind of just dismissed it. Went on, and then, I don't know, maybe 5 or 7 minutes later, the thought came right back. You know, Samuel had that same experience with Eli, was the high priest, and, you know, they were in, and the word came to Samuel, and he got up, went in there to see Eli, and he said, did you call me? No, son, go back to sleep. Second time, went in, Eli, did you call me? No. Finally, it dawned on Eli, it was the Lord calling Samuel. So he said to him, well, the next time you get a third call, just say, yes, Lord, what would you want me to do? Well, that was kind of like it was to me. Call Jim Hosey. So I did. I just looked his number up, called him. Back then, this was probably dialing. I said, Jim, this is Jim Fillingham. What's going on? And boy, he just started shouting right over the phone. he wasn't even saying nothing. He's just shouting and happy. And I said, what is it? And when he finally got his composure and said to me, he said, I've been praying whether I ought to stay in the pastorate. It'd been about 15 years for him at that time, or go on the mission field. I really feel a call to missions. But he said, I fasted, I've had the church pray, I can't get any direction. And he said, Lord, if you want me on the mission field, have someone call me in the next 15 minutes. Wow. I mean, I was just an instrument. I was that dumb one. He had to get in the headlights and say, call him, son. I'm telling you to call him. Jim finished out his conference to June. You know, we moved in June back then. And he went on the mission field and retired as a missionary and lives in Florida. We see him usually if we go down to a camp meeting there. I can't tell you how impressed, I mean, God impressed on me to be, try to learn to be a little more sensitive, not make me have to say it out loud, you know. Then, another experience I want to share, and I'm on page 4. I know some of you are wondering, am I going to shake it and see? Pat's over here looking to see if anything. This happened about 3 weeks ago. We were in a little camping group of about 12 families. Live kind of in the Navarre, Pensacola area, most of them. One or two live over this way. And this family lived in Loxley. We were sitting around the fire and sharing some things. And just kind of right out of the blue, she said, I was having chest pains. And they called the paramedics and took her to the Malbus ER. And this was just 3 weeks ago. It happened in April of 24. But this was just recently. And the lady says she's very fearful about a lot of things. But anyway, once they checked her, they sent her then by ambulance down to Thomas. They knew she was about to have a heart attack or something. So when they got her in there, she said doctors and her family were all around the bed, and she's laying there, and they're talking. They got a screen up there, and she looks over them behind them, and she says she saw God. And this is what she said. Everything will be all right. That's what she heard. That's what she told us in the group. Everything will be all right. And peace came over, and she wasn't anxious. And they did put in 3 stents the next day. But what a witness. Now, she didn't describe what I don't know what image she saw, but to her, uh-oh, are you dividing the group? Oh, okay. I thought he was fixing to send them over yonder. I mean, that way. Everything will be all right. Wow. Now, if you're about to have a heart attack, I kind of like to see a sign, too. Then lastly, this witness came. You probably heard this about the same time I did. This person was trying to make a decision about a job. Having prayed and yet didn't have any clear word. While visiting his family in Kentucky, a spiritual scripture plaque on the wall was used by the Spirit to answer his prayer. The scripture from Isaiah, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Yes, that witness was to our Pastor Bill. And that's what he made as he came to accept pastor of Five River Methodist Church. Through a scripture plaque of his sister-in-law's house in Kentucky. Wow. Thank you, Spirit, for working with gentleness, a little firmer, a little louder, second time, but maybe through signs. But he wants us to move in that direction. Now, I'd like to close by singing that simple chorus, Spirit of the Living God, fall on me, melt me, fill me, fall afresh on me. And what I like to do, you know, Bill had us sing in rounds, so I'm not going to sing, but I want you to sing. When we sing it, Brother Pat, will you have this section do, you know, melt me, mold me, fill me, and then all of us, use me. Would you stand as we sing? Come on, Brother Pat.
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.
Now, Pat, that was a little weak. I remember Brother Bill stopped us and we had to do it again, too. Woo-hoo. All right. Now, I'm going to put the choir with that group over there. So you help them. All right. Let's do it one more time, then I'm going to pray.
All right.
Spirit of God. Fall afresh on me, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.
That's not only a song, but will you make that really kind of the temperament of our spirit? We really want you to shape us into your image. Thank you for your presence here. We sense it today. There's wonderful sense of your presence. Now as we go, keep us safe. Michelle's not had to throw the flag on us, so help us to drive home safely now. In Jesus' name, amen. You're blessed, I think.